The impaired base puzzle call.
That kind of does sound good. Fine.
I'm not either one or two. We worked it out. I'm going to take the machines tonight. Give
yeah,
you
he's
missing
the last five, so that one that we both missed.
So we're in the middle. We're in the middle of Parag Bay's Pasakala. Akrad Varma Illy after these things, the king's anger calmed down. Zokras Vashti remembered Vashti, so that's what she did. It's Zhenigzola. We're in the middle of a Targum. The Targum on this Pasuk explains what does it mean, Achad Varma Illa? Ahasuerus was drunk. He was inebriated, he was intoxicated, he was drunk, he was shikr. So Achad Varma Illa is after he sobered up. Which is different than the Pasuk Shat and the Pasuk. The Pasuk Shat is when his anger subsided. And the Targum says it's not, well, it's when he sobered up. When he,
Well, it says in the Pasuk.
Yeah, so it seems that the anger was due to the intoxication. He never would have gotten angry. He would never have gotten angry at Vashti's refusal to come if he was sober. That's something you don't get angry. I mean, that's something you don't ask for in the first place. So the Targum is telling us the source of the anger. So you remember Ashton, you remember that they had this big party. He said, where is she? And they told him, you killed her. They told Achashverosh, you had her put to death because of what she did. He denied it. He said, I never had her put to death. I mean, because she didn't come in front of me, I had her put to death. I commanded that she shouldn't be a queen anymore. Sasha Chiddush in the Targum. She didn't come, so she loses the right to be the queen. I stripped her of her position. They said, no. You killed her. You do, you know. He said, who came up with that idea? And they told him it was the council, it was the Eitzah of these seven officers, these seven noblemen. You know, you might have wanted just to take away her crown. You might have just wanted to banish her. But they told you that's not enough. They said you have to kill her. And you killed her. So he hung them up on a cross, gallows. Tzliva, Tzlav. Use the word Tzlav. Tzlav. Tzlav in some settings means a cross. Tzliva, or gallows. He hung them up.
Wait.
He hung up the seven noblemen. Now, according to the version that Haman was Mimuchan, so then he didn't hang them up. So the Targum obviously holds that Mimuchan was not Haman.
So okay. What about according to those who said that each of the seven are mean another?
They're remnants to one of the Kampanis, right?
No,
the names are remnants, but they were still people.
Yeah, they were people. Right, that was Parak Beis Pasuk Aleph. Let's go to Pasuk Beis. Vayomer Melech Mishoso. Right now, according to the Targum, the advisors are all dead.
So that's why the Mishoso.
There's Nariah Melech, the young lads. Mishoso, they serve him. These are not the noblemen. These are the pages. Yevakshu Melech Naaris. The king should seek young women, besulais, those that still have their besulim preserved. They never had prior relations. Tevis Mara, they should be pleasant of appearance. But this is the Vomagain says that there was a machlekes in the palace. Haman had also given similar advice to Achashverosh. He says, kill Vashti. So what's going to be if you kill Vashti? Who's going to be the queen? You'll find someone who usa taivimimen. You'll find someone, her fellow woman, a taivimimen, even better than her. The Vilnagayan focuses on the word Reusa. What does it mean, her fellow woman? But what's the point in saying her fellow woman? I remember when we said that pasuk, we said one shot, Reusa is that whoever you marry is going to have the same noble status as her, because since the noble status of Rashi was conferred upon her by being married to Achashverosh, so whoever you marry is going to be as noble. But the Vilnagayan gives us another pshat over here. That's what we said then, in the previous parak. The Vilnagayan says, Reusa, fellow woman, is someone that she's equal in nobility, in her royal lineage. She's an equal to Vashti. Reusa means she's an equal. Don't worry, Achashverosh. Kill Vashti, you're going to find somebody else. Vashti's not the only one with royal blood in her veins. There's other women that they have a distinguished line. You'll find Reusa. And not only that, you'll find Taivimimena. So Haman says, go for the Chashivas. Consolidate your kingdom. Get a royal princess. Get a princess. Go for Chashivas. And we're going to see. You know, if he would have said that, if Achashverosh would have listened to Haman, Esther would never have been chosen. Even though Esther did have royal lineage, but Achashverosh didn't know about it. if Haman's advice would have been followed, then it would have been over for the Jewish people. The Vilnagayan said this is also a cardinal, primary part of the Nes. Achashverosh didn't listen to Haman. Usually he did. He listened to Haman to kill Vashti, but he didn't listen to Haman as to who to replace her.
Maybe he actually saw what happened the first time. The guy you lost your trust in.
It could well be. In fact, it definitely makes a lot of sense. But that's part of the hashgacha. Or is it kosher? It's kosher.
Yeah. Well, didn't Haman want his daughter to be? Was his daughter lineage? I don't think so.
Haman was from Amalek. There's no royal lineage.
So then why would he say? Because didn't he want his daughter to become a queen?
Where did you see that he wanted his daughter to be the queen? It's not a pasuk, right?
No.
Okay, so the Vilnagayan is the one that says this pshat. So it's one thing we have to keep clear that Mepharshim, when they don't agree with each other, then you have to keep in mind that they could explain things differently. Just because there's a Mepharsh or a Medrash that says Haman wanted to marry his daughter off to Achashverosh doesn't mean that Medrash will explain the word Reusa in the same way. Okay. So Vilnagayan says that the young lads, they had a totally different agenda than Haman. Because of the youth, due to the youth, they tell Achashverosh, like, what difference does it make who her father was and who her grandfather was? You want a wife.
Who are these young men?
His servants. They served him. They brought him his pipe and his bowl and his fiddler.
Nothing special about
that. Nothing special. They were young. So there is something special that they were young, because the advice that they gave him came from a young man. You know, to them, they had no idea of politics and palace intrigue and consolidation. You want a wife. There's a Mishnah, the end of Maseches Tainis, that talks about on the two times in the year that there was an event which promoted, a shidduch conference. It's an event which promoted proper Jewish marriage, that the girls would go out in their pure white clothing,
They didn't dance.
They went out,
and then they
each one said their virtues, and the women that were very pleasant, that had a pleasant appearance, so they would tout their own virtues, and they would say, beauty, the ideal of beauty is something which is appropriate for a woman. Women are beautiful. beauty fits a woman like a fine suit, you know. So that's something which is, when you're looking for a wife, that's something which should be a primary concern of yours, and you should marry us. And the Misharsim of Achashverosh were mechavim to these women. They told Achashverosh, like, you know, what are you worried about Yichus for? Yaifi. The Mishnah brings out, there was a Hamachlaikas. What's a, you know, if it, the Mishnah is part of the Torah, it's in part of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So that means that the Machlaikas between the women is a Machlaikas in Torah. You know, what's the essence of a marriage? Is the essence of the marriage the attraction between the husband and wife? Like when you say Yaifi, Yaifi has very broad connotations. But the one thing is, you know, the husband's attracted to the beauty of the wife. Inner beauty, the outer beauty, but the beauty of the wife, and it's something which puts the relationship in, you know, in its proper framework. Well, the husband appreciates the wife's beauty, and, you know, she's pleasant, she's pleasing to him. And then you could have Ava, and you could have Drakus. And then there were women that they said, but the whole purpose of getting married is to have children. And for children, Yichus is important. So they were focusing on the and what the marriage produces. So you have a machlokes hashitas. Whether the ikkar of the marriage is the bond between the husband and wife, or the ikkar of the marriage is what comes from the bond of the husband and wife. This is a machlokes
intent. Yichus doesn't necessarily mean it. If there's no good bond between the husband and wife, it doesn't matter what your yichus is.
This is mamas running up like a sibling. Right, the kid's going to be messed up. Yeah, the bond between the husband and wife is not, you know, if they don't love each other and they're not one with each other, so then the kid's going to be messed up. So he could be the grandson of a Kain Gadol.
They probably didn't think like that.
That's exactly how they thought. It was the Shem Shem. It was Tu B'Av. It was Yom Kippur.
Who was in this?
The women. The women and they were going. Yom Kippur? What else would they be thinking on Yom Kippur with Dvekas?
The women were going to go with Achashverosh?
Hold on here.
We're talking about the
I'm saying that that's the Mishnah in the Sechus Tanis.
Oh, okay.
Now, the young lads, they saw things with the perspective of those women. That the purpose of a marriage is, you know, the essence, the ikkar, primary, is the bond between husband and wife. They were mechavin to Amos, yes. They were mechavin to the Amos.
Seems more on the physical beauty. You say Naris Basulas talks about.
I agree with you. I think you're right, because that is something that they would do because of who they are. They would focus on the physical beauty. But there's nothing wrong with physical beauty.
Yeah,
even in a kosher marriage. I mean, that's not the ikkar, and it's part of it.
The machlokes over there was not talking about the physical, they were talking about the bond between.
I think the machlokes over there is all kosher definitions of Yeshu, including the physical.
It seems here, by the fact that they said, like, the Nas Basilis, it seems like.
And here, the focus would be on the physical to the exclusion of the others.
What's
the It's just Mustava like that. Remember, Raya Gumar, it's just Mustava like that. So there's there. So who do you listen to? So the Vilna Gaon points out that this seemingly insignificant detail, this machlokes between Haman and the young servants of the king, was another little cog, a little cog in the wheel, a little gear in the grandfather clock that saved the lives of the entire Jewish people, because Esther was not known to be of royal blood, like in Mamanushach. If you would have listened to Haman, he wouldn't have picked Esther because he didn't know of her royal blood. And if he would have known of her royal blood, then the whole miracle wouldn't have happened. Because the whole miracle happened because he didn't know of her royal blood. So he couldn't listen to Haman. For the miracle to happen, he has to listen to the young lads. I mean, there's mom's infinite amount of small, minute details that together work in tandem with each other to produce the big nice.
When did Haman say this?
What, to give the advice to
go with the
noble woman? That's in the previous parak. That's before Vashti was killed. Like I just said, that could have been one of the causes why Achaveric didn't listen to him. Because the last time he listened to him, he wasn't happy with it. And if Haman did live, if he didn't kill Haman, it's also a shkacha pratis. Because by all means, Haman should have been killed for giving such an advice. He wasn't killed. It's all, that is Hashkacha Pratis. Haman did more good for the Jewish people than 48 prophets. The Gemara says, we'll go into that later. The 48 prophets rebuked the Bnei Yisrael and said, if you don't do tshuva, something very bad is going to happen to you. And they didn't provoke the proper reaction from the Jewish people. Achashverosh takes the ring and puts it on Haman's hand, and boom, all of a sudden, mass tshuva movement. So Haman's very important to be around. Haman cannot die until he's supposed to die. Pasuk Gimel, Vayefkeid, Amelach Kedim. He appointed officers to call Medinas Malchusai in all the provinces of his kingdom. The Yikbutsu and they should gather together. Kol Nara Basua, an unmarried woman, Tavis Mara, pleasant of appearance, Al Shushan Abira to Shushan the capital. Al Besa Noshim, they had a house just for the women, designated for them. El Yad Hega, in the hands of Hega. Sris HaMelech, he was a foot soldier of the king. Shema HaNashim, he was in charge of the women. From the Sain Tamrukehen, and they should be given their toiletries, the cosmetics and the toiletries.
Look good, I guess?
What?
So they should look good?
Right, they would have to be perfect. You'll see the extents that he went to before they were allowed to appear before Achashverosh. Yeah. Okay, so Rashi says, why were their officers appointed in each and every province? Because it's the most practical way of getting the most beautiful women from each province. They know the women. So they use local people. That's what Rashi says.
They were the most practical?
Gil Starmer says on this pasuk that it's the most practical. They know who they are.
Question.
You send a stranger into the streets, he's not going to know.
You don't know
who
anything
to collect.
About these women.
Right, they won't know.
If they were going to send all the most beautiful women to the capital anyway, then why did it have to be that the capital be relocated to Shushan?
The Vilna Gaon says that the capital had to be relocated to Shushan because Mordechai was there. So
right.
Said in the beginning.
Right, but...
So how would you have done it? How would you have done it?
Only Esther would have been brought, not Mordechai.
Mordechai
had
to be there.
The whole thing
had Mordechai
to
had to be there. Miguel Starm...
Why did you not understand?
What? Yeah?
Did the Narim are suggesting that this guy be the head of it?
Yeah, so Miguel Starr wants to know what's this guy's role here? What's Hege's role over here? Why can't you just bring them to the king? Take the people that bring her. You have 127 officers for each one of the provinces, and they bring the most beautiful women from their regions. Let them bring her to the king. Bring the lady straight to the king.
It's good to have someone in charge of everything just to make sure.
Because you'd have to sit there.
That was a whole system. You had a special job. It was a whole system. It wasn't, you know, there was an agenda here. Hege was in, you know, remember, there's nothing in the Megillah that's extra, that's extraneous. Every single detail is part of the Nes. And this was also a very big part of it. The Megill Star said there was a fear. It's a very legitimate fear. And you know, talk about palace intrigue, and devious plots. Achashverosh was afraid that Vashti's surviving relatives.
I was told her, you know, that you have to call your wife.
Okay, thank you very much. Vashti's surviving relatives. would take revenge against Akashverosh. He's protected. He lives in the fortress. He's got the Republican Guard. He'll die for him. What's the best way, most foolproof way, to bump off the king? You hear what's going on? You hear what's coming? The best way is infiltration. They hear that there's a search for a new queen. The most beautiful women are going to be taken to the palace and they're going to be alone with Achashverosh. Which tells us for Vashti was the Gemara says she was one of the most beautiful women in the world. The Torah acknowledges that. Would it be so hard to find someone from her family that would be picked? Would it be so difficult? All she needs is a little bit of arsenic. There's all kinds of ways of hiding things. Go in there and kill him. So that's why they could not be brought direct to Achashverosh. Security concerns. Now I just saw that the White House kitchen was just captured by a team of Mashkikim. It's the second time in White House history such a thing was done. The White House kitchen was just captured.
Why?
Because they had, you know, President Bush has inaugurated the custom of having religious heads come to the White House for periodic visits. And Hanukkah is the time that the Jewish delegation comes and let them in on the White House and listen to speeches. And it's just a beautiful thing. And he shows respect to the other religions and they serve food. In previous years, they used to bring food, kosher food in from outside caterers. But the CIA or the FBI, I think the FBI, they nixed it. For security concerns, they can't bring any food from the outside. Everything has to be made in the White House. So they kashered.
They can't, like, order pizza.
They kashered.
Order pizza for a state dinner.
They kashered.
I'm saying in general.
They kashered. The White House kitchen in honor of this delegation. I saw a picture of it.
Who was the rabbi?
The very, very Orthodox from rabbis, yes.
I can always have been there. I saw pictures.
Okay, well, this is, what's her name, Mark? What's the first lady's name?
Laura Bush
with three mashkichim. Picture. If you want, I can get you a picture. But you don't let this.
If you want to
hermetically seal off the king, you can't let anything from the outside. These women have to be placed in a holding tank under a guard. It wasn't just for convenience. It just wasn't in order to be more organized. There was a real danger. So Haggai was a trusted investigator. And his job was to make sure that every single woman undergoes a background check to determine whether she has any link to Vashti's family or not. That's next. He said, because of that, he says a big Kiddush.
Because he was the watcher.
He says a big Kiddush. He has a kasha. He answers your question with a question. The Gemara says that of the four most beautiful women in the world, one of them was Esther.
Wasn't it also about her inner beauty?
What?
You said something about her inner beauty?
It was both. The pasuk says, Sheker Hachain Vehevel HaYefi. Chain, grace, and Yefi, beauty, are Sheker. And Hevel. There's no value to grace and beauty. The end of the pasuk is, Isha Yiras Hashem, a woman who fears God, he tisalal, she could praise. Or she is to be, you know, she could be proud of her what? He tisal, she could be praised with what? She could be praised with her beauty. Sheker hachein, the hevel hayofi, it's false. It's nothing. But if she has yiras Hashem, he tisal, she could be praised in her beauty. The beauty of a God-fearing woman is praiseworthy.
So then when it says that Vashti was one of the most beautiful women, she must
that
have
was just superficial.
Oh.
She was smart.
And that was Sheker. That was Hevel. That was Sheker, that was Hevel. The Megillah Stam says a very big Kiddush. It's probably a Kiddush which you might never have heard this before. It said that they gathered up all the beautiful women and they missed them. The Achashverosh, you know, he wasn't satisfied with who they had. So they did it again. Esther wasn't taken in the first group. And we'll see this later in the Pesukim. But Esther was not taken in the first group.
The first group was the best of the best?
Yeah, and the question is,
wasn't happy with that one.
If she was one of the most beautiful women in the world,
wasn't she hidden in the Shahada?
That's one shot. That's the one, that's the shot which I assume you knew. This is another shot. If she was one of the most beautiful women in the world, so then how do you explain that she wasn't taken right away? And then no one heard of her? How do you explain that? She's this mystery woman? How do you hide that? There's four beautiful women in the world, and she's one of the four. And nobody knows who it is? That never bothered you when you learned it? And nobody heard of her, and nobody knows who she is?
Listen, you could cover your beauty very easily. There are beautiful women all over the place.
Okay.
Doesn't mean they're the ones on TV.
I still think it's a question. You know, this is one of the four. Somebody should have known about it. And even, you know, and there was a tremendous amount of effort invested in finding out who she was. It should have been able to be done, you know. You have her. You know what she looks like. And you can't find out where she comes from. Nobody knows. She's striking. She stands out. It's something the Megillah Stam says they knew. He said they knew she was Jewish. It was known that she was Jewish. I'm going to answer one question. We're going with a little bit of a chain of logic here. They knew about it. Achashverosh didn't know. We know Achashverosh didn't know because the Pasuk tells us. But the ones that were searching for the woman did know. And they didn't take her. Because they had instructions to take great care in regards to lineage, filter out Vashti's family. Esther had a different problem. She wasn't of Vashti's family, but she was Jewish. And they hated Jews. So they wouldn't take her.
Why'd they take her the second time?
One second. Okay, this is up. Yes, that's the next question. Why did they take her the next time? But they didn't take her. The real time said they knew who she was, the ones that were searching for her. And they didn't take her because she was a Jew. She's Jewish. She's going to be the queen. I mean, this is the most obvious. It's the most obvious assumption. If they knew she's Jewish, they're never going to take her. And they knew about her. Well, to answer your question, how she was taken in the second taking, when we get to Pasukas. Okay, it was a nice. She shouldn't have been taken. I mean, why don't you ask me why was she taken? She was married. Why don't you ask me that question?
Who was she married?
We didn't get up to that yet.
I don't know.
She was married. Yes.
She
was not divorced, and she was married. We'll get to it. So we'll get to
the Achashverosh.
She had a son, and we really don't know who the father was. Son is Jewish.
So is he mamzer?
No, he's not a mamzer. There's no mamzer from a relationship between a guy and a Jewish girl. Mamzeris is only between two Jews. But that's something which it's decide who the father of the child is. But in regard, you know, the child's a kosher Jew, and he's the one that built the Beis HaMikdash. No.
Marcha used to come and used to sleep, right?
Right. So that's why they gave out, that's why the women were brought to Hagar, and they were brought to him in order to filter out the undesirables.
Who are they to suggest a name of a person? They could say what they give a suggestion. Say, and you should suggest this guy. He's a servant.
Which guy? Well, they didn't.
They suggested Hagar. It says in the passage. It's good Hamelach, but keep it. This is still a suggestion, right? Because at the end it says, Yitur Dar Beini Hamelach. This is them talking.
Yeah, well, Hegel had already had this position. He was the Shema Anashim. He had done this before. So they weren't suggesting it. He was someone that this was his area of expertise.
He was the
Shema Anashim? Yes. He was the
Shema Anashim. Karen only became a... I mean, he only became a king when he was already married to Vash. When he got Vash.
I mean, you're asking technicalities. Yeah, if he was the Shema Anashim a day before this whole thing happened...
What does it mean, the Shema Anashim? Shema Anashim is a new job. I mean,
he was a woman
in general? That was his job? I mean.
He was the keeper of the harem.
He had his own concert, whatever.
Achsherish had plenty of
wives. He was a king. He couldn't just have one wife. Come on.
He was the keeper of the harem. Yeah. It's going to get clearer as we go further, of course.
So there's no significance for this Hegel except for that was his job?
There's more. The sugya of Hegel, I'm telling you, I want to do this based on the psukim. Mm-hmm. So this is what we know about Hegel right now. He was a Shema Anashim, and he was adept at determining the origins of people, and his job was to be a way station to keep people away from the king. Pasuk Dalet, Vanara Shatita Beini Hamelach, and the maiden that appears toiv, good, proper, fit. That she's fit in the eyes of the king. Timlach Tachas Vashti, she should rule in place of Vashti. Vayita Vadover Beini Hamelach, and this was good in the eye of the king, Vayaskin. The Vilnagain points out in this pasuk. This pasuk is a continuation of the previous pasukim. That there was no regard, there was no care for her lineage. Royalty was not the issue here. Adarabi, on the contrary, royalty was the source of the complications. The Vashti, her nobility, caused Achashverosh consternation. That's a good word. Caused them a great degree of consternation. And that's why you see in this pasuk the word Malka, Malka Vashti, Vashti Malka is not mentioned. Because she's not going to be in place of Malka Vashti. Malka Vashti was royal. And she's not going to replace that. And there's no need to replace it. She'll just be in place of Vashti. Vashti the person, not Vashti the queen. And this will solve all the king's problems. Let's go on to our pasuk. Pasuk Hey. Ish Yehudi. Ish Yehudi, the pasuk shot in Ish Yehudi is from Shevet Yehuda. Ish Yehudi, a man from Shevet Yehuda. Haya b'Shushan Habira. He was in Shushan Habira. He was there. Yes.
Yes.
It's the same thing, no?
Yes. Very glad you pointed that out. Ish Yehudi, there was someone from Shevet Yehuda. Haya b'Shushan Habira. He was previously in Shushan Habira. He was there. In Shushan Habira, he was in place. Ushma, and his name was Mordechai, Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish. We went back four generations. Ishimini, and he's from Sheva Ben Yamin. So there's two things of note in this pasuk. One is that it starts out saying it's from Sheva Yehuda, and it ends up saying it's from Sheva Ben Yamin. And the other is it tells you his father, grandfather, great grandfather. Let's go. The Gemara Megillah, you've made some of the best. the stira between the beginning of the pasuk and the end of the pasuk. Kar leYehudi. The pasuk calls him Yehudi. Amma, you see from this Yehuda Kasi, he comes from Shevi Yehuda. Kar leYemini. Amma, you see me Binyamin Kasi. Amma of Nachman. Rav Nachman says the Teretz. Mordechai Mukta ben Yimusei Haya. He was crowned with beautiful names. He was from Sheva ben Yamin. The reason why you're calling him Al Shem Yehuda is it's a cover to him. It's a cover to him.
This was Rav Nachman.
Rav Nachman gives a Teretz. It's a cover to him. Yehuda is a the tribe of Lachas and Klai Yisrael, the kings come from Yehuda. Of the two Shvatim that were left, there was Yehuda and Binyamin. Of the two Shvatim that were left, so Yehuda is the one, the more dominant one. Mukhtar bin Yemusimai, it was a crown, a Kadosh Baruch Hu crowned him. It was like a crown of royalty. It's called from Shevet Yehuda. Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, his father was from Sheva ben Yamin, his mother was from Yehuda.
Yeah, but we don't call anyone that just because his mother.
Right, so you could combine that with the previous tarots that we wanted to be mechabed him and give him the lineage of his mother.
Who says this?
This is Rabbi Shua ben Levi.
That his mother was from Yehuda.
His mother was from Yehuda. You should just know. You know, there's a line of Nesiim in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, hello. Reb Gamliel, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Reb Gamliel, Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and Reb Yudah Nasi. That Chazal say we're from the tribe of Yehuda. And Yaakov Avinu and Parshas Vayechi, it's coming up soon. When he said the pasuk of LaYaseh Shevet MiYehuda, that the kings are all going to come from Yehuda, Mechaykek, Mebein Raglav. And the lawmakers are going to come from his loins. So it's not just referring to the kings that they're from Shevi Yehuda, it's referring to the Nasiim, the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, the Exilarch in Eretz Yisrael, and the Reish Galusa and Babel also from Shevi Yehuda. That's what Chazal say. That all the kings, anyone that occupies a position of a monarch in Klal Yisrael has to come from Shevi Yehuda. The Chashmonaim, when we just went through a Hanukkah, they took the melucha for themselves. They founded the Hasmoneic dynasty, and they were all wiped out. A slave by the name of Hurdis, their own slave, killed them all out. The Ramban says that this was in retribution for taking the monarchy away from Shevi Yehuda. Yaakov Avinu says, "You want to be a king? You got to be from Shevi Yehuda. You're not from Shevi Yehuda. You can't be a king." They were Menatzeach and Muhammad, they overcame the Greeks, that was a good thing. That was a tzidkus on their part, that was Mesiras Nefesh. But afterwards, to found their own dynasty was wrong, according to Ramban, and they suffered the ultimate consequences for it. So you see that Malachim, Nesiim, Eshkelusim have to come from Shevet Yehuda. The Yishami says that Yehuda Hanasi, who was a direct descendant from Hillel, was only from Shevet Yehuda, who was his mother's side.
Hillel also was
a Nasi also. I'm saying Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was only he only descended from Shevet Yehuda through his mother.
He only descended through Hillel through his mother.
No, from Shevet Yehuda.
Hillel also was only from his mother.
Okay, if that you know that could be automatic. Which I didn't. That could be automatic. I mean, if he's Ben Akaben from Hillel, it's the same thing. But Yisham is talking about. Shami is talking about Yehuda Hanasi, his father is not from Shevet Yehuda. So you see, in this Yishami, that he could be a ruler, and he could be considered to come from Shevet Yehuda, even through the mother. So there's a source for Mordechai being a ruler. He was a ruler of a Klal Yisrael, and he descended from Shevet Yehuda only from his mother. That's the second shot in the Gemara. And the third shot in the Gemara, I'm sure you figure out your own another combination of this. The third shot in the Gemara was that they used to fight about it.
Which one he was?
There were families, yeah. There was one family that said he's from Yehuda, another family. You know, whatever they fought, or the Muhammad will.
Where's the issue? Yehuda can't just be a Jew.
That's the one against Kasha. That's the one against Kasha. Because the Gemara has a kasha. He has a kasha on the kasha of the Gemara. He doesn't understand why the Gemara has a kasha in the first place. It's from Sheva Bin Yam. He's called Yehudi because all Jews are called Yehudim. And this Pesukim. All Jews are called Yehudim. Yudaya Anam. Daniel called himself a Yehudi. Yehudim. Yehuda has a meaning to it. Besides being from the tribe of Yehuda, Yehuda means I'm not Maidid Avay Desar. I only bow to God. I'm not Maidid Avay Desar. I'm only Maidid Hashem. I only acknowledge Hashem. I don't acknowledge Avay Desar. So the word Yehuda has a meaning to it. It doesn't necessarily, it's not limited to someone from the Shevet Yehuda. All Jews are called Yidden, Yudin, Judenschaft. A Yid. Are you a Yid? You're a Yid. Are you from Shevet Yehuda? Maybe. Are you not? So the Vilna Gaon doesn't understand what the Gemara's problem is. He's from Shevet Binyamin, he's Jewish. The Pasuk saying he's Jewish and he's from Shevet Binyamin. So the Vilna Gaon says that the Gemara's Kasha is not from the word Yehuda at all, it's from the word Ish. Ish means an officer. Ish means an important. He's a lord. Ish means he's a lord over Yehuda. It means he ruled over
the Jews.
People from the tribe of Yehuda. He was a son. Tamashmi, he was a sar on both. He was a sar on Shevet Yehuda. He was a lord on Shevet Yehuda and a lord on Shevet Binyamin. And that's what the Gemara doesn't understand. That's from Rosh Kasha. That's a mitzvah. On Tuesday, we'll go into this more. There's a lot more to go through on this process.